It is time for the Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ, meeting at the four-way stop in Caneyville, Kentucky. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets for Bible study on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. and worship at 10:45. We meet Sunday afternoon at 5. We meet for Wednesday night Bible study at 7. If you'd like to ask a Bible question or schedule a Bible study, please feel free to call 589-4167. Your speaker today is Jared Jacobs.
Welcome to this another edition of the Ancient Landmark. My name is Jared Jacobs, and I'm so glad to be with you, so thankful for this opportunity we have to once again open up God's Word and to study together. We encourage you, if you will, to get a Bible out and follow along with the things we're going to study as we spend time together in the Book of God. We are going to be studying from the Book of Haggai. And so if you get an opportunity, that minor prophet of the Old Testament, it's a small book, and one that not a lot of people read, unfortunately, but it is a small book, but it is packed with a lot of Bible teaching and a lot of Bible truth. And so there between Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and so if you go back to your Old Testament or even go to the Book of Matthew and then just start going back from Malachi and then Zechariah, and then Haggai, but it's like two or three books back from Matthew, you can find the Book of Haggai. And so if you want to go there and are able to right now, I wish you would, as we study together from the Book of God, from the Book of Haggai, this Old Testament prophet. Today we have certainly are blessed because not only with this opportunity to study God's Word, but I've got some here with me that I'm glad to have, and glad they could be with us at this time. We have Brother Mike Davis with us. He preaches the gospel in Orleans, Indiana, or there at the Orleans Church of Christ, Orleans, Indiana, right there on the main strip on Highway 37. We're glad that he's here with us today, and he can take part in our Bible study. Of course, we know Jordan, and Jordan's been with us a lot of times, and he's studying with us here. So glad that Jordan's with us, Jordan Lawson, and also have my son Aaron with us. And glad that Aaron could be on with us, that we might study and learn together. So it's kind of a unique situation where we get not just one, but you'll get four for the price of one on this radio program. And so we're looking forward to this study. And like I said, let's jump into the Book of Haggai and look there. And I'm going to ask Aaron to get us started on this in this book together. So go ahead and let's study together.
All right. Yes, sir. Well, welcome, neighbors and friends. And as we look at the Book of Haggai, you notice the first verse, it states, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel. Well, we need to understand as we begin this book, just who are those characters, Haggai and Zerubbabel and King Darius. You understand that the Book of Haggai was written after the children of Israel, the remnant of the children of Israel, had been released from Babylonian captivity. King Cyrus of Persia had released them back. And there's not a whole lot known about Cyrus, but one of the things known about him is he wanted to please the gods of the peoples. And so he released the Jews, but he released several races of peoples. They would go back and build holy places so that they could bless him. So in this case, he's released the Jews to go back to Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple to God. And this had been prophesied in the Book of Isaiah that Cyrus would release them and that they would go back to build the temple. You find in the Book of Ezra that this is exactly what happens. The Book of Ezra talks about the first group that came back was Zerubbabel, and then covers his group that he led back, that is Ezra's. And in Ezra chapter 5, the end of chapter 4, beginning of chapter 5. Ezra chapter 4, we read about the people being released and that they were to work on the house of God, but with a letter that was written by the king against them, they stopped construction. Verse 24 of Ezra chapter 4 says, thus the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And the reason why it stopped ceasing, why it continued being built, we see in the beginning of chapter 5 that the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, prophets, they prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. And it's due to the work of Haggai and Zechariah that the people who had started construction of the temple They had laid the foundation. They had built the altar for burnt sacrifice that they would continue building to rebuild the rest of the house. That's kind of the background that places us then into Haggai chapter 1, verse 1, that says he is now prophesying to Zerubbabel, which was the governor, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And this is what he said in verse number 2. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, the people says, time is not yet come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They were still afraid of the letter from the king. And so as I was reading over this book, I got to thinking once again of our current situation. Folks are afraid to assemble again, afraid to get out and talk to others about the gospel because of what has been spoken, not written by a king. We don't have a king in this country, but what has been spoken by the governors of our states concerning this current distress and coronavirus. And so what about this people, Jordan? And why would their heart be such that they say the time has not yet come to build? I thought that Cyrus had sent them away from Babylon to do this project. I thought they'd be excited.
So I guess to answer your question, so you're asking why the Jews, when they got sent back to their land, they didn't just start rebuilding the temple. Is that what you're asking?
Correct. They stopped.
I would say their heart wasn't right with the Lord. I mean, we see when we read a little bit further down in the book, you know, God, he really gets after them in verse 5. You know, he says, consider your ways. And then he goes on and he talks about how they're not physically blessed because they have not worked. They have not put in the effort to build up the temple as God commands them. So they didn't have the proper mindset. You know, like you mentioned, Cyrus, he gave them the opportunity to go back to their land and to build the temple, but they stopped. So then God sends Haggai to get them to get back to building the temple to its former glory.
And you see quite a contrast here too, by the way, because when they said verse 2, they said the time has not come, it's not time to build the Lord's house. Verse 4, jump to verse 4 of chapter 1. Haggai says, well, is it time for you to live, you know, in your houses, in your sealed houses here? In other words, it's got a roof on it. So, in other words, your houses are built. So, is it time for you to live in your houses that you've built and rebuilt? Now, you don't have time for God. You don't have time for his house. But you had time for your house. Isn't that all the way that works? It wasn't time for God's house. It wasn't time for his things. But I did have plenty of time for my things. And again, we see the parallel between that attitude then and the attitude today with so many. I don't have time for God. I don't have time to do his will. I thought it was interesting. Someone made this observation early on that somebody says, I don't have time for God. And I don't have time because I've got this and this and this. I'm too busy with, various interests that I have. And somebody made the observation that says, you've used entertainment as an excuse not to obey God. So in this virus, God took your entertainment away. You're not going to go to the movies. You're not going to go to concerts. You're not going to go other places. I don't have time. I've got sports and things I need to watch, and I need to be involved in these sports. God took your sports away. Professional, college, even watching our children play a t-ball game. You're not going to do that right now. I don't have time for you, Lord. My job gets in the way. So he took a lot of people's jobs away. A lot of people's laid off right now. And some man, I agree with you, some man decided who was essential and who wasn't. That wasn't God doing that. Some man decided who was essential and who wasn't, but some people end up being called non-essential. I don't have time, Lord. Because, you know, and we start going through, and God had systematically taken every one of our excuses away. Now do you have time for God? What about now? What are we doing? And how are we conducting ourselves? And again, you see this in Haggai 1 and verse 6. You've sown much, but you bring in little. You have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled. You're clothed, but you're not warm. You earn wages, and it's just like putting it in a bag full of holes. So God keeps saying, I'm taking your excuses away. And that's what you're seeing then in Haggai, in the book of Haggai. But you also, we're seeing that today. God keeps taking our excuses away. Now what are we going to do about it?
Several years ago, Jared, I knew an elder out in the country that gave me a good definition for the word excuse. It's the skin of a reason stretched over a lie. I like that. I like that definition. Most people that offer excuses really don't want to do anything anyway. Mm-hmm. They're trying to find some so-called justification to take them away from their service to God that's righteous to do. And just as they did in Haggai's time, they're building up things for themselves. They live in the finest and they eat and drink and wear the finest and all, not realizing that in all that, they still have nothing. They still have nothing. Jesus made this point. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where rust and moth doth corrupt. Thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where rust and moth doth not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. I don't think we have, many of us don't have our inclinations set on the right goal. If it's not God, then it isn't worth having. And you can lay that down from the family right on down to everything else. If what you and I own and possess as our own, including our families, if it's not in the service of God, you really don't have anything. Mm-hmm.
That's very true. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's very true. And the Lord is showing them through the prophet Haggai, not that these events they were toiling in, it didn't just by happenstance they not be productive, but this was the working of his hand in Haggai chapter 1, that you've done these things, and even when they were focused on the wrong things. Now he gives them a correct focus in verses 7 and 8. Notice verse 5, verse 7, he says, consider your ways, think about what you're doing. I'm responding to what you're doing. This is not things happening by accident. I'm responding to what you're doing. Now, think about what you're doing. Now, what they needed to do was, verse 8, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in and be glorified, says the Lord. The glory of the Lord had not been among the people during this whole time. You look back to the old temple in Solomon's time. You look back to the tabernacle in the days of Moses and Joshua. The glory of the Lord had been among the people. But here at this time in the book of Haggai, the glory of the Lord had not been among them in that temple that they were supposed to build, that Isaiah prophesied about. They were going back and build. The glory of the Lord was not among them. Well, how about in our lives today, as we are to be the temple of God? He talks about being glorified in his church. Well, are we bringing glory of God, or are we laying that aside? Are we saying, well, it's not time to be built yet? It's not time for me to conduct my life and live like part of the church. Well, that's because we're under this virus or we're under something else. Whatever the excuse, this time it may be the virus. Another time it may be something else that I don't act like the temple of the Lord and the church of the Lord. And now he's not being glorified because of my life. The Lord says that's not a good thing. I'm not pleased with that. He tells him again, consider your ways. Even the Lord says in verse 9, I'm breaking apart all of these pursuits that you have outside of me. You looked for much and it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? So Jordan, why did the Lord blow all these things away?
Because they weren't doing his will. He says, because my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. So they were focused on their own will. They were focused on doing their thing. They were focused on taking care of their own house. But they, in that, they forgot that God's house lied desolate. They had gotten their priorities completely mixed up. And as you already said, you know, the Lord's warning them, consider your ways. I mean, you think about the implications of that statement. I mean, for us today, consider your ways. I mean, we've already covered the fact that, you know, a lot of us, you know, we make excuses for not doing the Lord's will. We look to external excuses. We look to, you know, government regulations. But God, consider your ways. You know, God is telling these people through the prophet Haggai to wake up. And I think something that's interesting about this book is that, you know, God just speaks in very, and he speaks in very pointed and direct terms. He says, you know, consider your ways. You know, he says he blows away. They come to little, and it says, when you bring it home, I blow it away. And then he gives them the reason, because my house, which lies desolate. So these people had so been focused on their own ways and their own devices that they had turned away from rebuilding the temple of God. And then for us today, God says, you are the temple of the living God. So are we focused on building up, you know, God's temple? Are we focused on doing the will of God and bringing God glory?
And now, men and everyone listening, while we think about this and say, oh my, those people were so terrible, and they made the wrong choices, and they shouldn't have acted like that, and they shouldn't have been that kind of person, and they shouldn't have made those choices. While we think that, and rightfully so, don't forget the application is to me. And the application is to all of us today in the 21st century. What decisions am I making that would parallel this? And I think we as a nation are paralleling these decisions in a lot of ways. We're, we leave God's work off and leave it out, leave it alone, and then run home to our sealed houses. We run home to the house that we've got that's so nice and comfortable. We run back to our habits. We run back to our daily lives and daily things that we do. And we're worried about the things we see. We're worried about the things that are in front of us. And we're not worried about the spiritual matters and not worried about spiritual truth. And really, that's the point behind this, that the temple should be repaired in the book of Haggai. The temple, and connected with Ezra also, the temple needs to be prepared because that was the center of their spiritual life. That was the center of those things, where the offerings were taken and where the focus was upon God and where they took the blood of the animals in and where the incense was offered and all those things and were done. And daily sacrifices and weekly sacrifices and you know, yearly sacrifices and on. And that needed to be the focus. And they had forgotten about it. And friends, that happens today. And that goes on today. And I know we're not under the Old Testament law. I understand that. But I'm talking about where our focus is. We get so focused on the here and the now. We get so focused on, the things I see. And we forget the things of greater value are the things that you can't see. You know, in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, where he tells us, there at the tail end of that chapter, where he says the things that we see, he says, are temporal. Things that we do not see, he said, those are things that are eternal. And we need to remember that, because that's the lesson of Haggai for us. And so, are you doing what the Lord says? Are you living as the Lord says? How are you making these right decisions? Or are you still ignoring him? Why ignore him? Get back, come back to God and do what the Lord says and do it now while you can. Let me pause for a moment and remind you, this program is brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets together on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. for Bible study. And we also have Bible study Wednesday night at 7. We have our worship time scheduled for on the Lord's Day, Sunday on the Lord's Day, at 10:45 in the morning, and 5 in the afternoon we meet for worship. You'll be our honored guest if you come and be with us at any and every time that you can. We'd love to see you, love for you to be with us. We meet right across the road from the Sacramento Bank. They're near the intersection of Highway 62 and Highway 79 in Caneyville in Grayson County. We'd love to see you, love for you to come be with us. Ask your Bible questions. Come and see what we do. Bring an open Bible. Bring an open mind as we learn from the Book of God together. We would love for you to come. If you have any questions, you can call me, 589-4167. You can call, text me. You can go to our website, CaneyvilleChurchOfChrist.com. You can go to our Facebook page and look us up on Facebook and send us messages, like us, follow us, and all that good stuff. If you want to have a correspondence course, you can have that as well. Just contact me. It's absolutely free. Contact me about our correspondence course, and we'll send you lesson number one. We'll even send you self-addressed stamped envelope. We're not asking for your money. We don't want your money. We want your time. And so you won't even have to pay for a stamp. We'll send you that. We'll send you the stamp and everything. So that all you have to do is fill out the correspondence course, fill it out, put it back in the envelope, send it back to us. We'll grade it, send you number two, number three, and so forth. And, of course, if you want any Bible, Bible studies, ask a Bible question. Ask about this study today of Haggai. If you have any Bible questions, certainly feel free to call or text and love to hear from you. Okay? So let's jump back into our study in Haggai. And Mike, you are ready to go, I think. Let's jump into Haggai for a moment. And what else can we learn from these people?
Well, Jared, one of the things that impresses me in this book is that finally, after they're given this command and actually shamed into it in the first chapter, Jared said that very well. They're kind of shamed into it. It's interesting that they don't waste any more time. They get busy. They get right to it. And at verse 13, Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people said, "With you, saith the Lord." Isn't it interesting that when we're doing what we're supposed to do, God's with us. And when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, God's not there. Mm-hmm. God's not there. He wants us to be very, very busy. One of the New Testament passages that comes to mind is when Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 finished teaching the Corinthians the truth of the resurrection and the impending results for the eternal resurrection, if you will. He says at the end of that chapter, "Be ye therefore steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whatever we say in word or deed must be done by the authority of Christ," Colossians 3:17. And I don't find any authority for sitting on our laurels, twisting our hands and saying, "Woe is me." We've got God on our side if we stay busy in the face of whatever adversities may come our way. I think that's one of the lessons here at Haggai. These people are not going to get this done instantaneously, but they're sure not going to get it done sitting at home worrying about themselves. They get busy as soon as they're shamed into it. But I see notes of repentance in this. If I may, I'm going to read verses 14 and 15, then let Aaron go back into introducing the second chapter. "The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king." Now, it's noted when they got busy. And in the second chapter, verse 1, and Aaron, I'm not stealing this from you. You're going to explain it here in a minute. "The seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, 'Speak now to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who's left among you that saw this house on her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as of nothing?'" They got busy. And look at the excitement. Now, go ahead with that, Aaron.
Okay. Yeah, so here in the second chapter of Haggai, first chapter, we saw one speech, one message. And then the second chapter, you're going to see three. So In the total of the book of Haggai, he has four messages that he brings to Israel. And as you read in this second then message that he's bringing, he's addressing them while they're in the midst of construction, about a month later, from the time that he said, "I am with you," and they were there in the sixth month, and then in the seventh month, in the 21st day. About the next month, he comes and brings him a message. And you notice it's a quite different message. The first message he brought, he got after him. He tore right into him with the word of the Lord because they were lazy and they were not keeping the building of the temple as they promised, as they'd offered. Now they've repented. And with that heart of repentance, now he's got a new message for them, an encouraging message, you would say. So he asked the question about who is left and how do you see it now? And is it not as nothing? Well, there was still some older folks that had been taken into captivity all those years ago and had seen the Temple of Solomon in its final days before Nebuchadnezzar had come and knocked it down. So they'd seen the former temple. It was a glorious thing. And with the supplies that they had from Cyrus now, the temple they're going to build would never be like Solomon in that sense. It would never be like its former glory. And so we're going to start in verse 4. He's going to encourage them. Instead of those older saying, "Well, your temple's never going to be anything like Solomon's," he said, "Well, now you need to look at this and encourage them." He said in verse number 4, "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts." There's a encouraging message. Here's something we need to apply to our lives as Christians at any time, but even in this distressful time that we're living in. Be strong and work, for I am with you.
That's the second time I've read that.
The strength of the Lord.
The second time I've read that now, where he says, "I am with you." Isn't that something? When we're doing what the Lord says, Jordan, when we're doing what the Lord says, God is with us. But we decide we're going to walk away from him. Then what happens to the Lord then?
Well, if we decide to walk away from him, then he's not going to be with us. And I just think it's really, really, you know, profound to read this, you know, that in verse 4, there's so many times where it says, "declares the Lord," or "declares the Lord of hosts." When he says at the end, "for I am with you," declares the Lord of hosts. I mean, we just think when we're doing God's will, the Lord of hosts, the God of heaven is with us. I mean, what greater blessing, what greater motivation can there possibly be for us to get busy and do God's word and for the Lord of hosts, the God of heaven, to be with us?
What and, else is there? And whenever you,
yeah,
and you think about that, whenever whenever a man walks away from God, I mean, that's just it. You walked away from him. God didn't leave. God is still in his same position, as it were. God is still there. And so if you're separated from God for whatever reason, you're separated from him, then my question is, who moved? It wasn't God that moved. It's me. I moved. I walked away from him. And I need to come back to him. And so that's what I want to encourage you here in the last few moments. Friends, think seriously about what we've read in Haggai. And we haven't even got through the whole book yet. But just from these passages. And look at ourselves. Am I one who's walked away from God? Am I one who has made excuses for not serving him? Friend, if that's you, then this is the time to repent. Turn from this and get your life right while you can. If you need to become a Christian, you need to believe on Jesus as the Son of God and repent of your sins, confess your faith in him, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And I'd be glad to help you with that. I'd be glad to baptize you into Christ. Be glad to do anything I can to help you to get right with God and get us back in that right relationship where God will say, "I am with you." Listen, God's not going to be with you in your sin, but he will be with you when you have repented and when you are forgiven. That's a fact. So let me hear from you. Let's talk about these things and let's get our lives right with God. Men, brethren, I'm so glad that you're with us today. Mike and Aaron and Jordan, I'm so glad that you're here. Glad you could be with us. So glad for all that's tuned in. And I hope that this study has been very helpful to you. I appreciate you listening. And so thankful for this study. Read the book of Haggai and see these truths for yourselves. So thankful for this. Until next time, Lord willing, we bid you good day.
You have been listening to The Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. Tune in tomorrow at this time for another study from the Book of God.